Good afternoon to each one. It's a blessing to be here today. I'm thankful for the words that we could hear this morning, and I just trust that our time this afternoon could be edifying and encouraging to each one that's gathered. My mind went to Christ's life, as I was asked to share, and just some of the thoughts I've been having this past week. My thoughts kind of came together around the subject of the humiliation or the humility in Christ's humanity, if I was to give a title to what I have to share. I feel like my thoughts are a bit scattered, so bear with me. As I was considering Christ coming to earth, He came for a specific purpose, and that was to redeem us back to God. Christ came to earth with the purpose of redemption, not self-exaltation. And just thoughts that I've been having here, just thinking about His life in contrast to ours, many times we come with the opposite in mind. We come with the purpose of exalting ourselves. And I'd like to give a little contrast to Christ's life a little bit towards the end here. And to think of Christ's life when He was here on earth, how for many years, we get one glimpse in His life there in the temple, but for many years He was hidden at home, subject to His parents. And then also was thinking Christ came from heaven's glory to suffer with humanity. And you think of that contrast alone, you think of glory, and you think of the suffering on this earth, and the humility that it took for Christ to do that. We think of His temptation there in the desert, in the wilderness, how He allowed Himself to be tempted by a fallen angel, by the devil. Had to think about Philippians, and it's interesting how a number of the scriptures I was going to read this afternoon were read this morning already, but Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, think of that scripture. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the interesting thing that we see here, and being found in fashion, the word fashion also gives the idea of habitat. He found Himself in this earthly habitat. That struck me as I thought of that. Also, Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I'm not quite sure why I have that there, but definitely gives the idea of being content wherever we find ourselves. Think of Jesus' power and His miracles and His healing, His raising from the dead, walking on water. Also think of that time when it says that He could have called, I forget the exact number, but thousands of angels to deliver Him. And how he chose the path of humility and accepting what was before Him. John 5, verse 30 speaks of how He came not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent Him. And I thought, Jesus used the power that was given Him. He always used it for others. And there's a thought that struck me this past week. It doesn't originate from me, but the question is, how often did Jesus walk on water? And I was thinking about that, and I think we read about it as a one-time experience in the Bible, if I'm understanding it right. And yet, Did he not have that power throughout his life and his ministry? And it just makes me think, if we had that same power today, how would we use that? How often did he cross the sea? But he chose to do it. In his crucifixion, he allowed himself to be tortured and suffer the most cruel death at that time. And to think of that, I think in many ways he was humiliated to the worst degree possible at that time. Another thought I had that I want to share also is it takes great humility to have lots of power. And these thoughts are things that God is doing. Doing in my heart, so please bear with me. We know that in the end, he is now the exalted Christ at God's right hand. He bore the reproach of men on his life to redeem us to himself. I'd like to consider briefly today too. In Isaiah chapter 14, we know that this speaks here of the enemy of our soul, and talks about the devil being cast down, starting in verse 12. Can I read a couple verses here? 12 through 17. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And I had to think, this is complete contrast to the life of Christ. And I had to think in our own lives, each day we have a choice. Who will we serve? Will we exalt ourselves or stay small in our sight? I looked up some of the definitions of pride, and I have them kind of combined together, so they're not all from the exact same word in the Greek or Hebrew. But pride, some of the definitions would be arrogance. Another word to describe it would be presumptuously or to live presumptuously. Haughtiness or swelling. The character of one with a swollen estimate of his own powers or merits, or looks down on others, and even treats them with insolence or contempt. Another definition I thought was interesting was to envelop with smoke. And I thought that's very interesting, how it gives a picture of trying to conceal or hide. To inflate with self-conceit, or to be high-minded. Some other words we could give it would be bragger, boaster, an empty pretender. Just some thoughts as we think of pride and how easily it comes into our own hearts. And how, when you look at Christ's life, there's not one time that we see any of these definitions in his life. Another thought I had was, the more pride we have in our hearts, the more we fear being brought down to the right size. Pride is a view of oneself that only you can understand and appreciate. True humility has nothing to fear. It is all the way down. Luke chapter 7, verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and here we're talking about the time that he was going to the centurion's house. And when he Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble thou not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. And here, I just want to read that one verse there. I think we know that passage. But it talks about a man that understood humility in one sense, I think. He did not feel worthy to have Christ come and be there in his own house. James chapter 4, some more familiar verses. Verses 6 through 10. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Here we see that God's hand is against the proud. God resisteth the proud. Interesting thing there in verse 10 is, we have humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And that word humble would give the idea of to depress or to humiliate, to abase or to bring low. And I had to think, here we have two different contrasting things here. First part of the verse says, humble yourselves. That is our work. God's work, he promises that he will lift us up. He will lift you up. So that's a challenge to me today as I think about that. Another thing that I thought of is, humility is able to receive anything that is truth. Now that can be challenging at times. I had to think of, in regard to humility, A question I would have for us today here is, what do I fear more, humiliation or exaltation? You think of the opportunity that we have when we are exalted, to allow that to affect our life. I think we need to be careful with those things. We have also, as we remember Christ's life and how there were times he was exalted, but there was times that he was abased, and how he took all those things in stride, and he always gave glory to God. Another thing that I had to think of is, the truly humble do not fear humiliation, in the same way that the dead don't fear to die. So I want to keep our minds on Christ today. I want us to think about his life and his death and his resurrection. I want us to remember that he came to redeem us back to God. But as I was doing that, I could not help but realizing how often we fall far short of his life. I had to think. I had to think of an example of false humility, and how at times we can put on a picture of that, of false humility, and others tend to see right through it. But false humility is something that looks a lot like humility. It knows how to dress and look. But in the end, its intent is to exalt oneself. And I had to think of an example, and I know this is a pretty crude example today, but I had to think, this came to me as I was thinking about pride and humility. And I think I'm going to do this as a show of what it can look like. But false humility is a lot like me putting this sock on my hand. You know, my hand looks a lot like a foot at a glance at this time. And it looks like my hand is trying to be a foot. But the picture I want to let us with in the picture of false humility is that my hand isn't a foot, and my hand doesn't want to be a foot, and it will never be a foot. Because it doesn't want to be, and that's how we are with false humility. We don't want to be stepped on. But yet we want people to look at us as if we have humility. These things can be in my heart, brothers. And I just trust that these examples would be for God's glory and his honor, and that they would work in our hearts to make us more like him. But that example there is a very crude example. But I want us to think about how we tend to look in God's sight to God when we put on those things that are designed to look like humility, but in our hearts we still have pride. we're still exalted. We're still trying to draw attention. And we don't have that mind of Christ. I'm sorry, my emotions have kind of got the best of me today. But I'm thankful for the life of Christ as an example. I was thinking of, there's another scripture I wanted to read, in Proverbs 29:23. And with the example of false humility, those who are walking close to God and know the life of humility will very quickly see that shine through. And that's not to be condemnation to anyone here today. But let us truly be clothed with humility. And let us put away those things of pride. And allow Him, Jesus Christ, to have His way in our life. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit scattered here. Proverbs 29, verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. This verse speaks of exactly the opposite of what we think. Pride, in the end, will bring us down. Humility is the way to favor with God and man. Let's be willing to humble ourselves in the sight of God, first of all, and also to just be willing to be humble and to be used of God, and be willing to meet others at our own level. Not look down on others, and let's put that mind of Christ to work in our own life, that we would find ourselves in a place where we can be used in every situation like Christ was. That's all I have to share. God bless you.